Julie Lipstein with, she's a CACI consultant to CDC and currently works for the Health Information Strategy Activity at CCELS and serves as a business analyst for RCKMS.
Good afternoon, everyone. I think Angelique's presentation leads well into my discussion and talking about case reporting today. So we're going to explore some of the reportable conditions outside of the scope of the nationally notifiable conditions list. Sure. For inclusion into the RCKMS system. So just some objectives of today's talk. We want to identify these additional reportable conditions that need to be included in RCKMS, but also discuss some of the challenges associated with doing that. So RCKMS, this may be a familiar term to some of you, but it may not for most of you. So it stands for the Reportable Conditions Knowledge Management System. It's envisioned to be an authoritative real-time portal to enhance disease surveillance by providing comprehensive information to reporters and others. And by reporters, we are talking about those reporters that are required to report cases to public health, so hospitals, laboratories, healthcare providers. About the who, what, when, where, and why, and how of case reporting, with the aim of delivering information from providers on potential cases to state and local public health as a service of the broader infrastructure for electronic case reporting. So just to mention, there are two major chunks of work when it comes to this project. There's a technical component where we're developing actual software. That's not going to be discussed in this presentation. And then there's content. And so we'll get into what do we mean by content. So RCKMS is envisioned to have default content, and we're talking about reporting specifications for those conditions that are reportable that will then come pre-populated into the RCKMS tools for jurisdictions to either adapt and use as default or modify to meet their jurisdictional needs. And our goal is to take the reporting specifications, which are currently found in human-readable formats, such as the CSDE position statements, and translate them into machine-processable formats that can be pre-populated, like I said, into the RCKMS tool and then used for automating case reporting. So we standardized the process in the last round of work that we've done. We took the CSDE position statements. I don't know if any of you are super familiar with those, but they have a section 6 in there that is specific to information to know when a case should be sent to public health. There's a narrative text, and there's also a table, table 6B. We take that human readable reporting specification and put it in a consolidated spreadsheet. We standardize some of the language. And then we take that to the public health community and vet it with the community and make sure that it's going to meet the need for what they want to be reported to their jurisdiction. After that, we translate that into rules, logic, and value sets. And we are currently going back to the community to make sure that it's still meeting the need for what they want reported. And then we implement those reporting specifications into the software that's being developed, which has a clinical decision support service behind it to help make a decision of whether or not something is reportable to public health. So just note, as we go from left to right on the schematic on the bottom, we get an increased level of structure and computability. So just some of the background, some of you may have been on these calls that happened last year. They were very in-depth, intense, interesting, choose your word that you'd like to use, draining for some of us, very detailed work. So we created this content vetting work group out of CSDE to vet this content that we were coming up for the proposed specifications. The work group reviewed draft reporting specifications for 74 conditions. Why are you asking 74? These conditions are also nationally notifiable, and they have that position statement associated with them that we could use to draft a baseline for reporting criteria to vet with the community. And currently, as I said, the work group is going through a second round of review of these 74 conditions, so you may be hearing from us again. Currently, we have a survey out now for enteric conditions to grab some feedback from the community. So this is just a highlight of the categories of conditions that were covered, when they were covered, approximately what month, and the number of conditions that fell into each category to make up that 74. So that's all in good and well, but what do we do for those conditions that are not nationally notifiable and therefore do not have a CSDE position statement? So a future goal of RCKMS is to incorporate any reportable condition that a jurisdiction might want to automate for electronic case reporting. And so we need to be able to draft those reporting specifications for these new reportable conditions. But there's issues with that. First of all, what are those conditions exactly that need to be included? And then again, what is the process for defining those reporting specifications when there's no CSE position statement to get us started? So we looked at the SRCA, the State Reportable Conditions Assessment, that every state fills out. Most recently, I believe it was done in December of last year. And so we used the 2015 SRCA data, which was released in March, late March. Just a reminder, the SRCA is where jurisdictions go and indicate what conditions were reportable in their jurisdiction for the previous year. So it's retrospective. And they mark for each reporter type. So for a hospital, a provider, a laboratory, was there a time frame associated with it or was it not reportable? So for my inclusion criteria, if at least one reporter type indicated that they wanted that condition reportable in one of the time frames listed here in the box, or specifically indicated no time frame, it was included as saying, okay, that jurisdiction wants this condition reported to them. So just a little breakdown of what we end up with. We've got 204 conditions. That does not include the 74 that we've already completed for the first round of content vetting, content development for the RCKMS project. It about breaks down equally 25% or so for each category I have listed here. So the top category, we've got 54 conditions where at least 25 jurisdictions or more indicated that they want it reported to them. We've got some examples listed. 59 conditions are explicitly reportable in 11 to 25 jurisdictions. 41 are reportable in 6 to 10 jurisdictions, and 49 are reportable in 5 or fewer jurisdictions. And just a breakdown in terms of the categories, please note that this table is data from 2012 SRCA, but we're continuing to manipulate some of the data. But the most common categories you see in terms of disease categories are vector-borne diseases, birth defects, and injuries. So what are some of the issues that we have in terms of looking at these 204 conditions? Well, some of these conditions are related to nationally notifiable conditions. And so you've got clinical conditions that may be caused by a currently nationally notifiable condition, but they're not included in that Table 6B of the position statement. So there's two examples we have here, lymphogranuloma venereum. It's reportable in 44 jurisdictions. Trachoma, reportable in 24 jurisdictions. We've actually already gone out to the community about these two conditions, and it was decided that we're actually going to handle these through chlamydia trachoma infection reporting. So it's separate logic under the chlamydia infection reporting. It'll come into the health department as chlamydia infection, and you guys at the health department can make the determination if it's trachoma or lymphoma, lymphogranuloma venereum. So right there, that's two conditions that we've taken away from that 204 total. We're down to 202. Some of the other issues that come into play, we've got what we call condition classes. We all know that arboviral diseases, viral hemorrhagic fevers, they have numerous individual conditions that fall under these classes, but they can also be reportable as arboviral or viral hemorrhagic fever as well. And how do we break that out into the RCKMS system? So one example we saw from the data is actually complete opposites. Minnesota indicated that as a class, viral hemorrhagic fevers are implicitly reportable. However, every individual viral hemorrhagic fever condition underneath of it is not reportable. But then Oregon said that viral hemorrhagic fevers as a class is not reportable, but every single individual viral hemorrhagic fever underneath is reportable. So you've got two states that are doing it two completely opposite ways. And so how do we handle that in RCKMS so it meets the need? So we get to that question, is it really 204? God, I hope not. Is it all the conditions that are in SRCA? Does RCKMS really need to account for conditions that may already have other reporting mechanisms set up, such as healthcare-associated infections that report through NHSN or cancer registries that kind of have their own established reporting? We've also got clinical conditions that may be caused by more than one currently nationally notifiable condition, but not included in that Table 6B of the position statement. We've got some examples of some STDs that fall into that category. And so the path forward, we need to get jurisdiction input. We want to hear from the jurisdictions what is going to meet the need for your individual jurisdiction. We're probably going to have to reconvene and continue that content vetting work group and make sure that jurisdictions who indicated a specific condition is reportable is represented on that call so we know how it needs to be handled. And then that previous process of using the position statement is no longer really, it's not going to apply anymore if there is no position statement. So what do we do? Well, we may look at related position statements that are out there, but we also could review public health websites such as CDC or a state website. Indiana has a great website to find some of the information of reportable conditions, and also the medical literature as well. And we could review lab websites for testing recommendations, so AREP or Search and Link. But we also need to engage expertise to review initial draft of whatever we come up with. So maybe that's position statement authors or people that are experts in their field. But finally, and most importantly, we need to vet this information with the community and refine it to make sure it meets the needs of public health. So, thank you.